Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to another episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire News Group podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that would like you to know that Liz Cheney is not a hero. Stop it. Seriously, stop it. I'm Imani Candy.
And I'm Jess Piclow. Rewire News Group is dedicated to inspiring you to own your relationship to sex, abortion, parenthood, and power. And the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
So Jess, I can't help but notice lately you've been a bit frazzled. I mean, you look great. You look fabulous. I don't want this to turn in like, oh, you look like you're tired. No, you look fantastic. But I've known you for a while, and you've been kind of frazzled, a little out of sorts, one might say.
So, yeah, it's Ken Paxton's fault.
Wait, what? How is it? It's Ken Paxton's fault? How is it Ken Paxton's fault?
It is entirely Ken Paxton's fault. First of all, thank you.
Well, who the fuck is Ken Paxton? Let's talk about who Ken Paxton is. He's like the AG for Texas, right? He's a state AG.
The Texas Attorney General is making my skin break out.
It's not, though, because you look great.
It's giving me sweats.
Yeah, you always say you're sweaty.
I'm not sleeping. I never slept.
That sounded like you were about to break into song. I'm not sleeping. Can't be sleeping.
Ken Paxton has me three bars into a country song at this
point. Ken Paxton won't let me sleep.
Okay. This man is under criminal indictment.
Yeah, he is.
Right? Probably champing at the bit, to use your phrase, to get to enforcing a bunch of anti-trans and anti-abortion nonsense that lawmakers in the state are pushing. And I haven't even mentioned the big lie, right? This lie that the election was stolen, that's out there. And so Ken Paxton is the face of this, and there's this big fight going on, and I think he's going to be the future of the conservative movement.
I don't like this at all.
And that's why I'm in a way.
I don't like that idea at all. So, but let's talk about that. We're going to focus our episode on that this week, right? We're going to talk about...
We're going to do therapy for Jess.
Okay, we're gonna try and get some therapy in for Jess. But we're also going to talk about this big lie, right, that the election was stolen and that, you know, Trump really is the president. And I don't know, he should be in the White House. And Biden, he's just this guy who stole the election. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the ways in which Republican attorneys general are propagating this big lie.
Okay.
The Republican Attorneys General Association. I love saying attorneys general. The Republican Attorneys General Association, or RAGA, has gone MAGA. RAGA's gone MAGA.
Wooka, wooka, wooka.
But honestly, there's really, I have to say, there's really nothing that makes me happier. Well, there are some things that make me happier. Few things make me happier than being able to say attorneys general or goings on.
It is a thing that you have.
Missions impossible.
It is missions impossible, not mission impossibles.
Exactly.
Attorneys general.
Right. So RAGA is essentially what it sounds like. It is a bunch of Republican attorneys general whose goal is to get other Republican attorneys general elected to office.
You really do love saying attorneys general.
I do, and I won't apologize for it.
You shouldn't. You know what? No apologies in 2021, Imani.
Thank you. No apologies. Be a Chad. I'm going to be a Chad. Say attorneys general. We're going to talk about how RAGA has gone MAGA. Not only were they involved in promoting the January 6th insurrection, and we're going to talk about that more later, but one of the guys who said, oh, no, not us, we didn't have anything to do with it, not RAGA, was forced to resign from RAGA because it turned out that this RAGA dude was lying through his MAGA teeth.
The RAGA-MAGA is just so much.
It's a lot. And it's fine. I'm okay if RAGA wants to go MAGA. But the problem is that these attorneys general really affect our lives. And so the ways in which they affect our lives, it's just poised to be really, really bad for us. So we got to talk about these RAGA that have gone MAGA.
Ragagamaga is just like, that's the terrible mantra. I need to put that in a like shell and burn it, right? Yeah, like that's just bad. All right, so these AGs. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So the Conservative Party, conservatives, the Republican Party seems to be having a moment amongst itself, right? You said Liz Cheney is not a hero. She's not a hero, but she like was the one person who was like, hey, you know what's not cool, guys? Insurrection. Let's not do that.
Maybe that's a bad idea.
Maybe that's a bad idea. And she was rewarded by being, what, kicked out of leadership?
Yeah, she was kicked out of leadership just today, just this morning.
So we've got that as like the table setting, as the backdrop for what is going on in the states, because this fight for the soul of the Conservative Party that's happening nationally is absolutely happening at the state level too. And we've got state attorneys general in places like Texas, right? Ken Paxton, Alabama, Mississippi. These places will all sound familiar to you if you know civil rights and anti-abortion politics, right? They are all right in the center of the of this whole mess.
Yeah, and the Daily Beast has done some great reporting on these friggin' jackasses, and in particular in their role in the January 6th uprising. Unsurprisingly, Missouri is smack dab in the middle of these shenanigans. Missouri is always smack dab in the middle of all kinds of shenanigans. Smack dab in the middle of the Black Lives Matter uprising that started in Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
There, I've had to write several open letters to Missouri asking them to chill the fuck out when it comes to anti-abortion restrictions.
Seriously. If there is a fight over the soul of the country, Missouri seems to be located dead center in it always.
Which is interesting to me, because they're kind of located dead center in the country, are they?
Do you want me to do a Civil War riff? Once a Confederate, always a Confederate?
I actually would, kind of.
I mean, it's the history is there. The history is there. Missouri is in the middle of all of this.
Yeah. So according to the Daily Beast, RAGA, the Republican Attorneys General Association, their fundraising arm is called the Republican Legal Defense Fund. So the Republican Legal
Defense... I have eyeballs for that.
Yeah, right? Because this is the first thing you think of is the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. That's the first place my mind goes. And I'm like, what? All you do is you just come up with money to defend AGs who are bullshit, essentially. But the RLDF sent out invitations for a conference call on January 5th to talk about the rally that was scheduled for the following day, which ended up being not so much a rally, but more of an insurrection, a very violent insurrection.
I was going to say, rally's doing a lot of work there.
Doing a lot of work. And as if that wasn't bad enough, the RDLF, Republican Legal Defense Fund, also sent out robocalls that kind of seemed like they were foreshadowing the insurrection. So here's what they said. They called up a bunch of people, and here's what they said. At 1 p.m., we will march to the Capitol building, and we will call on Congress to stop the steal. We are hoping patriots like you will join us to continue the fight. This is the actual legal defense fund, the fundraising arm of the Association of Republican Attorneys General. That's bonkers. And the RLDF, this legal defense fund, they were listed as a participating organization on a website that advertised the march. Like, to have the top legal, chief legal advisors in multiple states signing on for this nonsense legal argument that somehow the election was stolen, that's bad.
So for the non-lawyers participating in this journey with us today... One of the things that you may not know is that in order to even be a member of the Bar Association, lawyers to be need to pass a character and fitness like evaluation by the law examiners, which is basically like, hey, you're not the kind of person who would go out and advertise an insurrection, are you? And if so, you should not be part of this profession.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking about all of the law students who were like sweating about whether or not they need to disclose a minor in possession of alcohol charge from some underage high school party when they were like 16, or whether or not they got busted with a dime bag of weed, you know, before it was legal, and that like is going to keep them out of a profession. And we have the top lawyers of the states effectively saying, you know, what would be cool is if you marched on the Capitol.
Yeah. You know, it'd be pretty sweet if you just overthrew the government.
What in the ever-loving fuck is
But it gets
on?
Worse. You want to talk about... No, it does. You want to talk about moral character and fitness? One of the things you're supposed to do when you're a lawyer is not lie.
Yeah, totally.
I know. There's, you know, I know people like to say, lawyers are liars. And lawyers just look at the law and interpret it differently than other people. But you're not supposed to lie. That's not lying. That's just finessing an argument. That's finagling, right? And so the executive director of RAGA, who's a dude named Adam Piper, was essentially like, we didn't have anything to do with promoting the insurrection. I don't know what you're talking about. But it turns out that that's not true, right? Because RAGA's fundraising arm was ass deep in the insurrection. So when it turned out that, you know, RAGA was ass deep in the insurrection, the guy who said, nuh-uh, not us, this Adam Piper character, resigned.
Okay, well, good.
Smart. You should resign because you lied. And then there was this huge internal struggle for the soul of RAGA, for the soul of this collective of attorneys general, and the MAGA people won.
I quit.
Like, you can't quit, because if you quit, then I'm left here talking alone by myself to our producer, Mark, who's just sitting there looking at me like facepalming right now. And that's not fun for us. So
how are the lawyers letting this happen?
I don't know. But what happened is these attorneys general promoted to executive director this guy called Peter Bisbee. The guy called Peter Bisbee was directly involved in these robocalls advertising the insurrection.
Wait, so they rewarded him?
Yeah, they rewarded the guy who was like, hey, we should do these robocalls to convince other Americans to overthrow the government. And it gets even worse than that. They also promoted to chair of RAGA Mississippi's attorney general, this guy Eric Schmidt.
Oh, God, no.
Eric Schmidt is the guy who filed not just one, but two briefs to the Supreme Court backing this madness that the GOP was propagating about how the Pennsylvania election results should essentially be overturned and that state should be handed to Trump because reasons. And he's running for Senate if you just want to, you just want that last cherry on a shit sundae.
No, I do think I quit. I do think this is enough for me. Because, like, you know, first of all, like, good, dude, you quit. Congratulations. But you quit because you got caught. And I love, like, I'm imagining this promotion conversation happening, which was like, you know, good job getting the crew together, effectively marched. Don't know that we hit all of our goals, so those are some places that we have to work on next time, right? Like, he got a 9 out of 10, right? Like, right. You organized everything, you just didn't get your ultimate conclusion, but hey, you still get the promotion.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a really terrifying signal to be sending other lawyers, other advocates, other activists, as we round out the previous election and into the next one, because we are not doubling down on the democratic process if we are the conservative movement. We are doubling down on the big lie. And so this doesn't go away.
Yeah, they are doubling
down. You don't double down on something like a complete alternate reality, a fiction, and then be like, you know what? Haha, just kidding. We're totes cool.
Also, it sends a signal to young conservative lawyers to be that it's okay to lie and to make shit up, and that we really don't, you know, all those ethics tests that we take and the oaths that we take, they don't really mean anything, because look, something like almost half of the attorneys generals in this country have decided that they are going to support a ridiculous lie. They've decided as a collective that this is what they're going to do. And it's not just robocalls. These asshats have been involved in actively challenging the results of the presidential election, right? So I mentioned Eric Schmidt, maternities. he's Missouri's. Okay. I mentioned Eric Schmidt. He's a Missouri's maternity general. What is wrong with me?
The maternity general is just amazing. He's just go with it. In season 12 of Grey's Anatomy, we're talking attorney about general. Maternity generals.
Jeez. Maternity General Hospital. Okay. So, yeah. So, essentially, you know, he has been backing this ridiculous argument that state Supreme Courts don't have the authority to overrule bad actions by state lawmakers when it comes to voting rights, right? They want to be able to cut off at the pass all of the mail-in voting, right? And the thing that's really fascinating about this to me is that Trump signaled to Democrats that you need to mail in vote by basically ganking in the dead of night post office boxes off the street. And so now what we're supposed to believe is that the recourse that Democrats took to make sure that their vote got counted, which was mailing in a ballot, somehow that was illegal too. And when the states decided to count those ballots even after Election Day, which they had the right to do under their own state law, that was somehow illegal.
Right.
It's bad.
It's bad.
And like you said in the upfront, you said Ken Paxton is the reason that you're frazzled and that you're stressed out. Ken Paxton literally spoke at the January 6th uprising, right? Like, how does that happen?
So as an attorney, I cannot file anything with the court without doing what's called a Rule 11 attestation, right? And that attestation is basically like, hey, look, there aren't any lies in this. I'm representing my client's interest to the fullest of my ability and within the bounds of the law. And maybe I'm making a novel legal argument, like maybe this is a new legal argument that I'm making, but I have a good faith reason to do that I'll lay out in the brief or in the pleading or whatever. And if lawyers fail to do that, or if what they file with the court doesn't match that statement, we can be sanctioned. A judge can say, hey, you know what? You're in violation of Rule 11. That's an ethics violation. You owe the court money. Your license is suspended. Where is the Rule 11 violation for speaking at an insurrection?
I don't know.
Like, I can file a motion if it helps move things along.
maybe we need to file something with the state bar. Because this is like, just, it's out of hand. And Ted Cruz, too. I mean, he's not an attorney general, but he's a member of the bar, right?
He went to Harvard Law.
He went to Harvard.
That man knows better.
They all should have their bar licenses stripped at a minimum.
And again, like, I'm just going back to, because, you know, words used to matter. They should matter.
Yeah.
The Rule of Law Defense Fund. Like, honestly, the RAGA is bonkers. But, like, the RAGA fundraising arm should be called the Rule of Defense Law Fund or what Rule of Law Defense Fund, right? Because, like, when I think conservative lawyers, I think, like, law and order, man, right? Mm-hmm, like, those are the folks who are, like, back in the blue and shit like that. So, like, that seems like rule of law to me. Not, you know, march on the Capitol and erect some scaffolding to...
But in their minds, they are upholding the rule of law because in their minds, Trump won the election. Or at least that's the lie that they are trying to convince their constituents. I don't actually think that most of these people believe Trump won the election.
No.
I think it's just a play. But we need to get back to the fact that, listeners, what we are telling you right now is that there is basically 100% chance that an attorney general who is in a Republican state, a gerrymandered state, a voter-suppressed state, is full-on MAGA. Like, completely on the Trump train, still on the Trump train, despite two impeachments, despite all of the bad behavior, despite bilking his followers and his stands out of millions and millions and millions of dollars and shipping it off to the Cayman somewhere, that these attorneys general, the people who are supposed to uphold the rule of law in these states, are MAGA. They don't believe in the rule of law. What are we supposed to do with that? What are Democratic attorneys general supposed to do with that? Because usually these people are supposed to be able to work together. Sure, you may disagree on the interpretation of the law, but Democratic attorneys general usually don't think, oh, hey, that guy over there tried to overthrow the government based on a really, really bad faith reading of the law.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. We just have big lies like all over the states now, right? Like Paxton, you've got one example. There's that dude, Jason Ravensburg. Did I say his name right?
Oh, my
Ravensburg
God. That
from South
guy.
Dakota. This guy.
That guy.
Who literally, like, 100% MAGA, not even, like, trying to hide it.
Not only 100% MAGA, but 100% hit a dude with his car, killed the man, and is still in office.
The rule of law, Imani. This is the rule of law that we defend. The right to leave a Trump fundraiser and drive drunk and put another man through our windshield. That's the rule of law.
And not only that, it was a hit and run. It was like a hit and run in return. So here's what happened. He initially told authorities that he thought he'd struck a deer or another large animal. And so he went home.
Reasonable,
South
Dakota.
He hit the deer and he just moved on. And then he said he went back and searched the area with a flashlight and didn't realize that he'd killed the man until the next day. Like, he looked around with a flashlight, apparently that night, didn't see anything, flashlight in his phone, didn't see a dead body. Was like, ah, didn't see a deer either, apparently, just saw nothing. Was like, ah, yeah, all no. good. All good. Went home, came back the next day, and was like, oh, looks like I kind of killed a dude. So it's a hit and run in return. There was a 5-month investigation. They weren't able to bring any charges against him that would have landed him in jail. So he basically got like a misdemeanor and he's still in office. He's still the Attorney General for South Dakota. What? What?
I know, right?
What?
This accident is so tragic because, and during that investigation, it came out that when he hit the dude, it was because he was on his phone looking up a story about Hunter Biden's laptop and China. So, like, all of it is literally that ridiculous. That guy's attorney general. He's in charge of enforcing the laws of the state of South Dakota. So you might have some questions for him if you are a resident of South Dakota. I'm just saying.
Like, why did you hit a dude and run? I don't know. And you know, we're making jokes and we're trying to keep this light, but this is actually really serious. The fact that we have MAGA attorney general. I almost said attorney generals. I messed up my whole vibe, bro. But the fact that we have these MAGA attorneys general in office, that is really harmful because they are not really tapped into reality. They don't believe in the rule of law. They have absolutely no problem with lying. And they actually think that, or that at least they are willing to pretend that they think that Trump actually won the election.
Yeah, and it's just bonkers. I mean, you had mentioned, like, how are Democratic attorneys general supposed to work with them? How are Democratic lawmakers? If you have somebody who should just be ideologically different than you, but that difference is an alternate reality, there's no governing that is possible.
Right.
Like, that is just not possible. The only way that you can govern is if you buy into their big lie, even in, like, increment bits, and you just can't. So then what does this look like? This looks like, you know, progressive lawmakers in states trying to push back against some of these anti-trans bills with science, and conservative lawmakers like these MAGA folks being like, we say, yeah, so science, that's neat. We don't actually do science around here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where is the policy that comes from that, right? Like, there is no, it's an entrenched, insolvable problem that we have. And why I'm seeming a little frazzled these days, Imani.
And as well you should, because, you know, we've been talking about Eric Schmidt, this Missouri attorney general. He's running for Senate now.
Yeah.
So these people, you know, attorneys general offices are often pipelines to national office, right?
This is such an important point. Like, I can imagine listeners being like, oh, you know,
Who cares about Eric Schmidt? Do I really care
about the attorneys general? And like, yeah, you know, because you know who used to be the attorney general of Missouri? Josh Hawley.
Another guy who just walked by these insurrectionists, gave him a fist bump.
Like, you know, power to the people, like, hey, Josh Hawley.
Fight the power.
Right? Oh, but this is absolutely terrible. True. It is absolutely true. You know, there are a couple pipelines to national office for folks in the legal profession, and a state level attorney general is an excellent example of this. And, you know, I mean, we see how this can go very differently, too. Like, I mean, even just look at the difference in the way the states of Kentucky versus the state of Minnesota have handled police violence incidents among in their ranks, right? Like, Attorney General Keith Ellison actually prosecuted a cop.
Yeah. Yep. Got a cop prosecuted, convicted.
Right. So the differences are not just like a little esoteric. They're real.
And in Kentucky, we had Daniel Cameron as the AG, who essentially undercharged the officers who killed Breonna Taylor so that they couldn't possibly be found guilty of anything. I mean, this is how these attorneys general can affect actual people's lives, especially the lives of Black people.
Totally. It's where the rubber meets the road.
And the lives of trans people and the lives of pregnant people and the lives of any marginalized people who aren't particularly represented in Republican governance.
Absolutely. So it does matter, like, that this dude in South Dakota hit a guy and continues to stay in office because he could be a future senator from the great state of South Dakota.
And it matters that these AGs are continuing to push this lie. And I've said over the course of the episode, are pretending to believe this lie, because I don't think a lot of them actually believe that Biden didn't mm-hmm. fair and square win. But what they are doing is they are trying to undermine voter confidence in the electoral system, to undermine white voter, white non-progressive conservative voter confidence. These are people who have never been disenfranchised a day in their life. All of the gerrymandering and voter suppression laws cater to these people. You can go vote in a white neighborhood. It takes you 10 minutes. You go to downtown Atlanta, it takes you 8 to 12 hours. There's a reason for that. The reason is because black and brown people tend to vote for Democrats, mm-hmm. right? And so then mm-hmm. there becomes a question about, you know, are we even a representative republic at all? Because for the last, I don't know how many elections did Republicans lose the popular vote, but win the presidency based solely on the Electoral College, which is a racist, you know, freaking vintage piece of garbage from Jim Crow era. Like these are actual problems. And so now you have white folks, conservative white folks who have never been disenfranchised, but who think that they have been because the orange guy didn't win the election. And so now what are Republicans doing? They're passing laws to make sure that the elections remain, you know, have some sense of integrity, right? They got to restore integrity to the electoral process. There was never any dissipation of integrity from the electoral system. It's been, if anything, it's always black and brown people who are disenfranchised, and now they're passing more laws which further disenfranchise already disenfranchised people because Republicans have colonized voter suppression.
Yeah.
They've literally colonized. They have taken an actual issue affecting black people, co-opted it, and made it an issue affecting them so that they can continue to disenfranchise black and brown people. It's actually very clever. It's clever in terms of policy and strategery, as Bush would have said. It's actually clever, but it's just that it's not clever. It's cleverness that's going to end up hurting marginalized people. And that's...
Yeah. And I mean, they took a page right out of the anti-abortion playbook to do it, right? Like restoring integrity to the process. That is just the same as like, we're going to pass a heartbeat ban, right? That's nonsense. Those words don't mean what you're saying they mean, right? The rhetorical presumption there that they are promoting is that when black and brown folks vote in large numbers, that is in and of itself fraudulent.
Yeah. I mean, literally, they went to court a bunch of times to be like, can we just toss out the votes of the black and brown people who voted against Trump? That's right. What they did. So, you know, this is a real problem for Democrats, because Democrats are not going to be able to win another election if black and brown people are not permitted to vote, because black and brown people tend to vote for Democrats. So if Democrats have any intention of remaining in power, they need to figure out a way to push back against the Republicans who are propagating this lie and who have turned a lie into truth.
And I just think, you know, to one final point that you made that I just think is so important that I really want to amplify is this idea that, like, it feels nice right now, several months into a different administration, and it feels like there's some hope on the horizon with the pandemic, even, like, you know, there are signs of lightness, but the dark storm clouds really continue, and it is natural, I think, for folks to get complacent. But as you said, Democrats have to get focused on this if they have any hope of fulfilling an agenda or winning elections in the future again. So the stakes are really quite that high.
The stakes are high, and rag is gone MAGA. And on that note, we are going to close out this episode. If you want to talk about any of this stuff, or if you just want to say attorneys general with me, you know, five times in a row, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Black Lady. You can find Jess on Twitter at Hegemommy, Hegemommy. You should follow Rewire News Group on Twitter and on Instagram. And you could give us money, right? You could go to rewirenewsgroup.com/boomgive and give us money so we can keep talking to you about Republicans behaving badly. Republicans behaving badly. And okay, that's it. What are we going to do, Jess?
I'm going to change my shirt because this episode made me so sweaty. But then we will also see you on the tubes, folks.
Shirt chains, tubes. That's the order of things happening today.
Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piclo and Imani Gandhi. Mark Folletti produces the show.